welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. You're here with Dan and subbing in for JJ as our good friend, frequent co-host, friend of the pod, not friend of the Bills, Brandon Bennett, our resident Patriots expert. JJ dealing with some life stuff and some dad stuff. Also a big reason why we couldn't record last week, but we are back this week to unpack all of the feels about the Bills' loss to the Rams and then what is absolutely going to be a fierce test against the Detroit Lions. Brandon, I appreciate you joining the pod. Normally, we only bring you on to commiserate terrible things about the New England Patriots. Feel fortunate to have you here so that you can rub it in a little bit about the Bills dropping one this past week. How are you feeling, sir?
Good. I appreciate you having me back. Happy to be here at this very sensitive time for the Bills Mafia community. Should be some good banter today. So,
yeah, I definitely think so. All of the and you're not kidding about sensitive time. All of the McDermott must be fired guys are crawling out from the woodwork. And I will say that is a tough place for me and JJ to be in because we came out this year as, you know what, we're cool if we move on from McDermott. But I got to tell you, Brandon, after this game, I don't know that you can chalk up the loss to the Rams solely on that decision to go for the sneak on the goal line, which is what a lot of people are doing. Yes, it felt very much so like the same bad late game decision making that has plagued this coaching staff for many, many, many seasons. But it also doesn't take away from the fact that this was a coaching staff, particularly on the defensive side, that adapted beautifully to the Kansas City Chiefs, did some things that were very out of character for them to ultimately pull that game out. So I do think there has been growth that I don't want to ignore on this coaching staff. I mean, Brandon, I would love to get your take as an objective outsider. I feel like the Bills lost this game to the Rams because their dudes, put it simply, were better than our dudes. The Sean McDermott defense is an 80-20 proposition to me. It's going to beat 80% of the teams that get rolled out against it, but then there is an elite 20 that usually have some combination of all pro skill players and a above average QB that are able to exploit this scheme. Am I wrong in this observation? Please, New England Patriots fan, tell me what you saw in this game.
Yeah, I think the Rams scripted a very good game for the Bills. The Bills defense has been a story this year. And I don't know, McVay figured it out because Puka was cooking, Kupp was cooking, and the Rams were able to, yeah, pick you guys apart, find holes, put up 44 points, which is a lot, right? And the Bills hung in there with their own respectable 42 points, which in any NFL game is impressive. I think McVay had a good scheme coming into the game and was able to exploit the holes in the defense, which, again, all year has been very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, it has been good. But I think there were some things that came up from this game that were simmering weaknesses that because of the win streak, because of the early closure on the division, we were by and large ignoring. One of those has been the rush defense. And God love Aaron Quinn from Cover One. He is doing God's work. I don't know if you follow him on Threads or Instagram, Brandon, but even as a non-Bills fan, his feeds are excellent. Data-driven, stats-driven, it's wonderful. And he has been beating the drum that by success rate and EPA, this Bills rushing defense is actually good. And it is, particularly compared to some of the other squads that are struggling this season to stop the run. But I think what we saw with the Rams is that the cost of a good run defense is very, very high for this Bills defense to play. For example, in the second half, they had to play a lot of single high, dude. And you know this from the times you've been on the pod with us. The Bills want to drop into zone. They want to play too high. They had to play a lot of single high, bring down an extra safety to try to fill a gap and stop the run because their defensive line was getting no push. And that left their corners on an island against, as you mentioned, one Puka Nacua, who was indeed cooking, Cooper Kupp, who looked the healthiest he's looked all season in that game. And yeah, they were able to stifle the run by yardage and yards per run in the second half, but it cost them in coverage. And that's the thing about this Bills defense that I think often gets overlooked because of the advanced metrics. It is a give and take. Like, it's a zero-sum game. If they're going to be good at covering the pass, they're inviting teams, per the scheme, to run the ball. And when they finally need to sit down and stop the run, it's often going to come at the expense of the coverage. So I guess, Brandon, what I'm contesting after this game is that the Bills do have a good defense, but it is not a well-rounded defense. It is a defense that has to rely a lot on game script, where if the Bills are playing ahead and the rush game is eliminated from the opposing team's playbook, then yeah, they can sink into where they're most comfortable, which is playing zone. When you take them out of that positive game script, though, and they're playing behind, you have the ability to dictate action and force them to make some sacrifices on the defensive side of the ball that ultimately compromise not just the scheme, but some of the players. I mean, dude, this was Rasul Douglas's worst game of the season by far. Christian Benford also did not cloak himself in glory in this game. You know what I mean?
I want to highlight something that Buffalo Bread Pod had posted on Instagram following the game, which is that the Rams did a very, very good job converting on third down.
Incredible.
Right. And that was the key to their victory here. And I think where the Bills defense really struggled.
And they've struggled all season. That's a great point. The Rams came into this game with a 33% third down conversion rate, but the Bills defense has struggled all season getting off the field on third down. And when you look at the third downs they have the most trouble converting, it's those tweener downs where opposing teams have the ability to run if they want to run, or they have the ability to pass. It's not often third and long. Third and long, this defense is getting off the field for the most part. It's those tweener third downs where it could be a mix of anything. Because again, the Bills, by stats, have a good rush defense, and by stats have a good passing defense, but they cannot operate both of those elements of their defense at the same time. One comes at the cost of the other. And I think, Brandon, as we get into our preview of the Detroit game, there's going to be another test this week against Ben Johnson and the way he schemes up that run game that will similarly make the Bills make a choice. Do you want to be good against the run and David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, or do you want to be good against the pass?
So before we get to the Detroit game, I do have one other question for you. And it, again, you know that as a fantasy football player, I'm highly invested in James Cook. Can you tell me a little bit about what happened?
45% snap share the entire game. I have no idea. So the Bills did struggle to get the design run game going early on in this game. And that's a credit to LA. Like, I came into this game thinking that they have a really light defensive line. They don't have great linebackers. They're schemed and they're set up a lot like the Dallas Cowboys that really struggle to stop the run. They've got a lot of athletic defensive linemen, not a lot of big, large bodies. I think the largest guy is maybe Kobe Turner on that defensive line. And I think he's only like 309, something like that. I mean, he's basically like an Ed Oliver, who is a very, very light defensive lineman. So I was stunned at how effective the Rams were at taking away the designed run game. And then I think, again, game script meaning what it means to this Bills team. The minute they got behind, Brady, it seemed, was very, very keen on going away from the traditional run game and just putting the ball in Josh's hands to get him back in the game. But to me, this has been kind of an ongoing frustration with the running back substitutions that this team tends to roll out. James Cook needs to be on the field more than 45% of the time. And I love Ray Davis, and I know Ty Johnson scampered in for that 51-yard or 41-yard touchdown pass. But James Cook, even if the run game is not working, is equally effective out of the backfield in the passing game.
Well, and yeah, he's got to be the check down guy, right? Like,
yeah,
Josh goes through the coverage, right? Goes through the reads, not there. James Cook is good for, you know, a 5-yard reception, and maybe he gets a couple of yak yards. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I mean, honestly, with the way the offensive line was protecting Josh in the pass game, like, I mean, he was clean in that pocket all day. You could have run a couple of wheel routes with James Cook, given them time to develop, and really tested this Rams defense deep. I mean, listen, that when you score 42 points and six total touchdowns, it's hard to critique the offense too much, but sure. I do think this coaching staff, for whatever reason, be it Brady, be it the running backs coach and the way he manages that rotation, I feel like when game script doesn't go their way, they're too quick to turn away from Cook. And to me, that is a mistake because he's a star on this offense and he's got a lot of juice and he could have done some things out of the backfield in this game for sure, but they just didn't give him the opportunity. Right.
Right.
And I love that the thing that continues to connect us as friends is that you have James Cook on your fantasy team. I just want to point that out.
It is Brandon, the glue that holds this whole thing together.
Literally, it's the only reason we talk to each other. If you don't draft him next year, I really do worry for like the limited social connection we'll then have. It's really going to be sad. You just have to draft him every year so we can keep this thing going.
Or I'll find some other prolific Bills player to try to target in fantasy football.
Not Dalton Kincaid, let me tell you that. Yeah, I've got strong feelings about that dude. Though he looks like he is a full practice participant over the past couple of days, which is great, which means he might play against Detroit and garner like three catches for 23 yards like he's been doing all season. That's one I can't figure out, but that's a conversation for another day. Any final observations, questions, or thoughts, Brandon, on the Rams game before we get to the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing. I texted you earlier this morning to ask you if, Josh Allen is, going to win the MVP this year. And it's because of performances like what we've seen the last 2 weeks, right? Just really, as any team football fan, just really fun to watch what he does on the field. So,
as a red-blooded American, let me tell you, Josh Allen, he's my guy. but you did pose an interesting question, and I think my answer to you was something along the lines of, yeah, Josh is the MVP, but media needs clicks, they need takes, they need to continue to get views, and you can already hear the simmering undertones of, Joe Burrow's having a great statistical season as well. Why isn't he in the conversation? Like, the reality is if this thing is wrapped up heading into this week, as a lot of people think it is, that's boring. That's boring content. No one wants to talk about that. They need controversy. They need something to create difference or dissension in order to keep people invested. And so I think you're going to hear a lot more over the next few weeks, especially if Cincinnati goes on a run. You're going to hear a lot more about Josh Burrow or Joe Burrow getting MVP consideration, even though, to me, even if Burrow statistically eclipses Josh Allen, for as much as I love the weapons that Josh has, he doesn't have anyone to pass to nearly as good as T. Higgins or Jamar Chase. And not that good players should handicap good QB play, like just because that Steve Young had Jerry Rice doesn't make Steve Young any worse, but I do think part of the MVP narrative around Josh is that it became his team this year. They jettisoned veteran players. They traded Stephon Diggs. They did not have a true number one on the roster. They were going to put it all on Josh's shoulders, and the dude has responded. And right now, statistically, he's got more total touchdowns than anybody in the league, and he's on pace to eclipse 40 total TDs for the fifth straight season, which would in fact be a historic mark in an NFL record. So call it a lifetime achievement award, if you will. But to me, the narrative around Josh's leadership, his continued production, and where the Bills are in the playoff standings, to me, puts some heads and tails above everybody else.
I think that's probably a really good segue to talking about the Detroit Lions.
Because they have their own MVP candidate in the mix, and one Jared Goff. But so, Brandon, go ahead. I got a question for you to start this.
I think what the majority of America wants, talking about red-blooded Americans, is a Lions-Bills Super Bowl, right? Let's give the people what they want, right?
It feels that way. So, yeah. And that's a perfect segue into the question I have for you. Do you feel like this is a Super Bowl preview, or are there other teams in both the AFC and NFC that you think might break through over Detroit and Buffalo? Who would be your biggest challenges to these two guys in each conferences, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, to your first point, I really hope it is a preview of the Super Bowl. I think what the Bills have been able to accomplish with the youth in the receiving core, bringing in Amari Cooper, and then what Jared Goff is doing with Detroit to sort of earn over the hearts and minds of American citizens. It's just really fun, right? And let's all unite and join hands over our shared hatred of the Kansas City Chiefs, who nobody wants to see go for a third Super Bowl. You heard that right, Bills Mafia. I'm right here with you. Nobody wants to see the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl again this year. So, yeah, I mean, I hope so. I think it will be a similar high-scoring game because Detroit is going to be able to look at what the Rams did and, you know, probably try to replicate that in some way with a lot of talent on the roster between Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams. Jahmyr Gibbs is, you know, I think top tier as a catching running back. He's a gadget back, and you combine him with the sheer brute force and momentous power of David Montgomery, right? Like, you know, they're a two-hit combo that I think better than most that we've seen in the NFL. I think better than the golden days of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon in Green Bay those years. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch. I was talking with folks at work, and everyone thought that they would flex this game to primetime, right?
I know. I wish they did.
Yeah, and I'm surprised because I think there's a lot of football fans that are excited to watch this game.
I agree. That's such a nice tee up for this conversation too, because these two teams have really kind of captured the imagination of a lot of adversarial fan bases. Like if you're a Jets fan or you're a Dolphins fan, you're probably not rooting for the Bills, but if you're a Raiders fan, right? Or if you're a Chargers fan, even though your team is still in it, you're probably like anybody but the Chiefs at this point. And that has in fact bonded a lot of people over the course of these two teams, really, really pretty epic runs this year. I loved your comment about two hits, right? The two hit backfield. It reminds me of that motto in a lot of 90s tough guy movies. There's going to be two hits, me hitting you and you hitting the ground. And that's exactly what Gibbs and Montgomery is. Gibbs is going to hit you and Montgomery is going to make sure you're on the ground. I mean, right. And the way Ben Johnson, dude, tees up this rush game, they are as diverse a running team as any other in the league. And it starts with that elite offensive line. And you mentioned something about the Rams and how the Lions are probably going to replicate a lot of it. They are. And they can replicate that better than even the Rams could because of their superior offensive line. Dude, in that Rams game, Greg Rousseau had zero QB pressures. Now, this is a guy who's been number 9 in the league heading into that game in total QB pressures this season. He's having a great year, and he's the only one on that defensive line for Buffalo that is. But he didn't get any against the Rams. And this week, he's going to go up against one budding All-Pro in Penei Sewell on the left side of that offensive line for the Detroit Lions. And everything that they do in the rush game begins and ends with that guy. They'll pull him. They'll tell him to get to the second level. Sewell can do everything they need him to do in them some. Now, Rousseau is objectively one of the best run-stopping edges in the league. Sewell is one of the best road-grading run blockers at tackle in the league. It is rare, dude, that I say I want to watch a matchup in the trenches. That's usually JJ's territory on this pod. But I can't wait to see Rousseau and Sewell go up against each other. Don't you have Amon-Ra St. Brown on your fantasy team?
Everywhere. Every fantasy team, everywhere.
Yeah. He's a regular for you, right? Yeah. So give us some insights based on what you know about his production and what you think he's going to be able to do against either Benford or, you know, if Douglas ends up playing Douglas.
So the Detroit Lions really like to put Amon-Ra in motion a lot. And I think, you know, testing out coverages, seeing again, you know, are they playing man? Are they playing zone? What's going on with him? He's, you know, you look at the stats over the season, often peppered with targets, but sometimes, you know, you're watching these Detroit games and there's two whole quarters that Amon-Ra will go without seeing a target. You know what I mean? And so, and then bam, the fourth quarter hits and Goff will target him 3-4 times consecutively in a drive. So I think it's, you know, really interesting how they utilize him because he's without a doubt their best offensive weapon. But they, I mean, Jameson Williams is a speed demon. So good. Yeah. I mean, if he can catch the ball and turn, like, you know, he's off to the races. So, I think they do a lot of like disguises with Amon-Ra to get him in open space. A lot of short yardage with him, which you kind of actually see very similarly with Kupp. I think Kupp gets a lot of the short yardage volume work. And I think Amon-Ra is kind of similar in that way. But Amon-Ra's done a really good job trying to stay healthy this year. I've seen a number of clips where he kind of just, you know, he gets the first down and then he's, you know, not to say he gives up on the play, but he'll often go down if he sees a free safely barrel in towards him at full tilt. And, you know, we'll just call it good with the first down there. So, you know, I think that's part of it, too. He's been able to stay relatively healthy all season in preparation for an inevitable postseason. So,
yeah, absolutely. And the postseason for this Detroit squad is inevitable. I loved what you said about motion, because with a Ben Johnson coordinated offense, you're going to get a few things for sure. You're going to get a lot of motion, and not just motion to, as you very nicely stated, to help Jared Goff understand what coverage he's looking at, but they also use motion to understand what leverage they can play inside, outside, what level of the field their wide receivers or pass catchers are going to attack. So you're going to see a ton of motion in this game, and the Bills have really struggled with motion-heavy teams, with the exception being Miami this season. You're also going to see a heavy dose of the run game to set up play action. And this run game Wary talked about is a two-headed monster. But they do a lot of what the Bills like to do, Brandon, which is they like to line up Jared Goff under center. This is actually the number three team when it comes to frequency of plays run under center in the league. And that makes their play action way more effective. And then when they're into their play action bag, that's when you can hit Amon-Ra St. Brown at any level of the field. Or you just see Jameson Williams streaking down the field, beating two safeties and catching a 50 or 60 yard bomb. And everything that Johnson does for Goff, he makes it an easy decision, right? He uses motion to give Goff clues pre-snap, and then Goff is so quick in his release and so quick on his reads post-snap because this offense is so well coached and everyone is always where they need to be. And we haven't even talked about Tim Patrick in the red zone. He is a real red zone threat for them this season and has been Goff's go-to when they're inside the 20s. And then, dude, Sam Laporta is also starting to finally come on this year for them. And the Buffalo Bills, they really struggle with opposing team tight ends. I mean, listen, if I had to come up with a formula for how the Bills win this game on defense, it is to get the Lions off the field as quickly as possible to give Josh Allen the ball and then let the Bills basically take the air out of it and keep this Detroit Lions offense off the field. Because I feel like that is the only way this Bills defense is going to save itself from being exploited. There's just not a lot that the Bills, in my mind, are going to be able to do defensively that is going to counter this very, very potent Detroit Lions offense.
Yeah, I think that's a good take. I think I know the Bills Mafia hailed the return of Matt Milano. He's certainly going to be tested in this game. So,
oh, dude, and I love Matt Milano is our Bobby Boucher, right? He is our water boy. Like, yep. He just decapitates guys when he is flying sideline to sideline. He is not just coming back from the bicep injury. He's coming back from last season's gruesome, gruesome season-ending leg injury, too. And you can just see it. A little bit harder to see in the San Francisco game, His angles aren't as good because the speed isn't there. He's missing tackles. For my mind, Brandon, the thing that is most frustrating for me is I don't know why they have ramped up Milano to this level when clearly he is still working his way back. And they have put in mothballs their season leader in tackles in Dorian Williams. Now, Dorian Williams, listen, he worked his way into this lineup after Milano got injured and really improved throughout the course of the season. He is excellent, excellent as a run defender, and he has an absolute liability in pass coverage, particularly against play action. If I were Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott, and I've been looking at the Milano film for the last 2 weeks, I would figure out a way to get Dorian Williams onto the field in those obvious rushing downs. Honestly, and the Bills never do this because they're a nickel-heavy scheme, they'll never play three linebackers. There's an argument to be made in this game, particularly when the Lions want to go heavy, of putting in Dorian Williams and playing a 4-3 base set. Reason being, Taron Johnson, listen, he is a maven at stopping the run game from that slot nickel position, but like you want him healthy for the playoffs, and they haven't had a fully healthy Taron Johnson in a really long time. And I was rewatching the Rams game, and I saw Taron Johnson coming out from his slot position, rushing the A-gap in the run game against all these giant offensive and defensive linemen, and making these very perilous stops against the Rams running game or against the Rams running backs. And he does it, and he does it well, but that stuff takes a toll. With Dorian Williams on the roster and Milano working his way back, you don't need to put Johnson at that kind of health risk at this point to me. Roll out a base defense against some of these heavy 12 personnel sets that Detroit's going to run out there and let Williams cook in the run game. And then in obvious passing downs, get him off the field because he's an absolute liability, right? But I just don't think they're going to do it. I just don't think they're going to do it because this is not a coaching staff that likes to do those things, unless it's against the Kansas City Chiefs, which is the only time they've really adapted. So I don't know, man. I just think the defense is going to get worked in this game, and there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it.
So on the offensive side of the ball, I think this season there's been flashes of Ray Davis and what he could be for the Bills as a complement to James Cook. So what role do you see him playing in this game against Detroit?
I would love to see him play a role where he gets like 30% of the snaps because I want James Cook getting the rest of those. And, you know, we have slept on the fact that James Cook has been an absolute monster in the red zone this season. Out of his 11 total TDs this season, 10 have come by either rushing or passing in the red zone. And this is a massive departure from last year where he was only on the field for a quarter of the Buffalo Bills' red zone snaps. They trust him in the red zone this year. And to me, while Ray Davis is supposed to be that big, burly, get inside the 20s and hammer it home back, James Cook gives you a really dynamic playmaker when you get to that level of the field. And to me, he's had a lot to do with the Bills' success in the red zone and converting those opportunities into touchdowns. So for me, I love Ray Davis. Love Ray Davis. But in this game against this squad, you got to go with your dudes. You got to let your dudes win you this game. And James Cook is a dude, if I could put it as simply as I could. Mm-hmm. So let James Cook in this game and let Ray come in to spell him every now and then. But if James Cook has under 25 touches in this game, to me, it's a failure of game planning. And that's despite the fact that Detroit is a really good rush defense, even though they've had all those injuries along the defensive line. Aleem McNeil, should he play in this game? Great against the run. Draft pick out of NC State from a few years ago. Excellent defensive lineman. We know they don't have Hutchinson, but they've got Za'Darius Smith, who is not necessarily a minus in the rush defense game either. They've got the dudes that can stop it. I just think Cook is way, way more dynamic. And you can beat this team by rushing outside the tackles. Get a little outside zone going because Joe Brady can scheme up as diverse a rushing game as Ben Johnson can. Get a little outside zone going with James Cook and let the dude cook. So my Ray Davis answer, sir, is about James Cook.
Sounds good.
What other observations, thoughts, or questions do you have about this Detroit game before we get to prediction sure to go wrong?
Well, you said the word prediction. So for those listeners out there who are degenerate gamblers like you and I, give me a guaranteed touchdown from each offense.
Like a guaranteed touchdown score?
Yeah, yeah. Who's going to score a touchdown for each team?
I mean, David Montgomery is the easy one. And I haven't looked at the anytime touchdown score odds yet. I got to imagine he's like a minus 400. He's just almost, especially when the Lions get into the red zone, he's almost a guarantee. He's a guarantee to get one. If you want me to get weird with it, though, and give you a non-obvious one for Detroit, I'm going to go with Patrick, their wide receiver. They have really utilized him well in red zone situations this year, as I mentioned before. But he's also developed into a solid third option for them, especially as Laporta has worked his way back. And I got to imagine they're going to line up Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot a lot over Taron Johnson, which means Patrick is going to get a pretty favorable matchup against Jamarcus Ingram if Douglas can't go. So I got to imagine Patrick's going to get one. So if I had to bet anytime touchdown score for Detroit, I would say it was going to be him.
Yeah, you can't double cover Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta, and Tim Patrick.
And you got to be mindful of Gibbs and Montgomery catching out of the backfield too.
So who's your anytime touchdown scorer for the Bills?
I mean, the obvious one would be Josh Allen, because I think they're going to use his legs in the red zone, right?
That's a good answer.
If you wanted me, though, again, to give you like a weird one, I'll give you Dawson Knox, right? Mm. So Dawson Knox is a safety blanket for Josh in a lot of these big games. And Detroit, like Buffalo, they struggle to cover opposing teams' tight ends. I think there's going to be opportunities, especially if Brian Branch doesn't play, for Knox to get something going in the red zone. And like, it's not going to be a spectacular stat line. It could literally be Knox, 2 receptions, 3 yards, and a touchdown. But I think Knox has the opportunity to break through in that way this game.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. All right, man. You ready for some predictions sure to go wrong?
Yep, sure am.
All right. So you're going to be on record. This is going to live on the internet forever. This is for whatever reason, this game opened at -1.5 Detroit. Standard home field advantage for the home team is -2.5. So on a neutral field, the opening line suggested that the Bills would be better than Detroit, which I do not believe for a minute. The line has gone in Detroit's favor, and they are now -2.5 favorites to win this game. Over-under on this game is 54.5. This is up from 53.5 open. What is your final score prediction, Brandon? And do you think we're going to hit the over on total points in this game?
Yes, I do think this game will hit the over. Score prediction, and I'm going to say Detroit 37, Buffalo 29.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's a really solid score prediction. So you hit the over, you've got Detroit covering, and you've got Detroit winning. Listen, I also have Detroit winning this game, and I know JJ does too, even though he's not here to record with us. I just think Detroit can do too many things to put Buffalo into a negative game script that's going to force them to make those pick-your-poison choices on defense, and they're not going to be able to do enough to get this Detroit offense off the field and give Josh more opportunities to score touchdowns. I'm with you. I think Detroit lays a 30-burger on this Buffalo Bills defense because they do everything well that this Buffalo defense doesn't do well. I'm going to say Detroit 35, Buffalo 31. I do think they're going to make it close because the Bills, other than the Ravens game this year, have a history of playing really good teams tight. They got too much pride and they got a dog on the other side in Josh Allen. But I just think Josh will not have enough opportunities because of the defense's ineffectiveness. All right, let's do a prop bet. You got a prop bet for me? Because I got one that I want to run by you.
Why don't you go ahead?
So this goes back to our Matt Milano conversation, and I'm hoping against hope that the coaching staff sees the same thing on tape that we're all seeing, which is that Milano is not 100%. Dorian Williams, over under, 25.5% of defensive snaps in this game. Now, to be clear, he played zero snaps in the Rams game. So I'm saying this is a full about face for this coaching staff, and they will realize that Dorian Williams against a run proficient team is going to be needed on the field. So what do you think?
Would you say over under 25%?
Yep, over under 25.5%.
Ooh, I will give you the over.
I want to take the over too. My heart wants to take the over. My brain says it's going to be the under and they're going to keep this kid in mothballs unless there's an injury to either Bernard or Milano. So you take the over. I'm going to take the under. I actually think they're perfectly happy to keep Williams on the sideline and let Milano work his way back, no matter how ugly it is. You got a prop bet for me?
I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe the most pass attempts for Josh Allen in any game this season is 40 or 41.
Oh, I'd have to go back and look, but I want to say it's like 41. Yeah.
Okay. And against the Rams, I believe that number is 37. Mm-hmm. So Josh Allen over under 35 pass attempts.
I kind of want to push because 35 feels like a good number based on how I think this game script is going to go. But just to make it juicy, I will take the over because I think Josh is going to have to chuck it. I think James Cook, like I said before, if they get the outside zone run game going, Cook's going to be effective. But otherwise, this is a really tough matchup to get the run game going. I think they're going to have to lean on Josh's right shoulder in this one. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. I would take the over.
Okay. One final question for you. Over under 12 and a half times while you're watching this game, you hope Drake May develops into Josh Allen.
Well, I wish I was that naive to believe that that was even in the realm of possibilities. Yeah, under for sure.
Yeah.
I think Josh Allen, what we're seeing him do this season is special. And I'm not at the point as a Patriots fan where I'm confident that Drake May is in the same conversation as what we're seeing from Josh Allen. So I would take the under on that.
Yeah, cool. I think you guys bagged yourself Justin Herbert, which is nothing to sneeze at. That dude's having a hell of a year, right?
I think that's actually a really good comparison.
Yeah, I try. I try on the spot to make good comps. It's the one thing I'm good at. All right, Brandon, listen, man, thank you for filling in. Appreciate it as always. For those of you listening at home, this is an audio-only pod this week, so no YouTube, but you can still find us on Apple and Spotify. And as always, go Bills.